More honesty than you can handle.
More empowerment than you can imagine.
You're tuned in to Tavis Smiley.
I was just saying to some folk during the break here in the building that these conversations about death aren't always easy to have, and whenever one engages a subject of morbidity, you always take a risk about whether that should be a 30-minute conversation, an hour conversation. One never knows because, again, these are difficult subjects to tackle, difficult conversations to navigate. But that Alua Arthur is all that and then some. That conversation was rich. It was meaningful. It was in-depth. I see all of your posts and responses to how much you appreciated that conversation. So I can promise you that Alua Arthur is going to make a cameo again on this program. She'll make a return visit. And there's so much more about her backstory and the work that she does we didn't get to in that 30-minute conversation. But we'll get her back. And I can already see, again, from the response that you enjoyed that as much as I did. So thank you to Alua Arthur for just empowering us with that information. And we'll get her back here in the days to come. We close today's show with another great conversation. Amber Cabral is her name. She's an inclusion strategist. And we're going to talk here for a few minutes between now and the top of the hour when we wrap today's program about what it means to just be good humans and how we teach people to be good humans. We're just talking about preparing for that moment that none of us can avoid when we end up doing that dance with mortality and how we can be better people on the journey. And that's what Amber, so these things kind of segue, they kind of connect. Amber's idea is that there is a way to help teach people how to be good humans and thereby shift the narrative on DE&I. As I said earlier, DE&I is taking on the chin these days. So maybe there's a better way to have a conversation about all of this, and I'm pleased to bring in Amber Cabral now to do just that. Amber, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
If I complained, I'd be an ingrate. I'm doing okay, and good to have you on this program. So let me just get you to unpack that notion of what it means to teach people to be good humans. Isn't that what our parents were supposed to have been doing all along?
I mean, I think a lot of our parents do that. The question is, you know, once you get out in the world, do you carry it with you? I often tell people that I teach people to be good humans instead of telling them that I do DEI work, because very often when you say DEI, it either triggers someone or they don't really have a good working knowledge of what it actually means, or it is immersed in a lot of ideas that are not actually helpful. Mm-hmm. And so when folks ask me what I do out in the world, my response is typically, I teach people to be good humans, which prompts people to go, that sounds interesting. And then I start to explain what I actually do, which is I train, you know, leaders in corporations and nonprofits and, you know, big business and even small business about the ways that we can use, you know, certain skill sets to be able to communicate more effectively with one another, to exercise some compassion, to support one another. And all of those things are really what DEI is about.
I can see why that'd be a great conversation starter, that I teach people to how to be a good human. So it is a great conversation starter. So let's start our conversation with that. When people then ask you to unpack what you mean when you say good humans, how do you respond to that? How do you answer that?
What I usually open with is letting folks know that you are engaging with folks whose ideas you are going to disagree with on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. But those folks still have lots of value. And sometimes what happens is we meet people in environments where we're able to find some commonality and we get along and we laugh and kiki or just have some simple common courtesy and all is well. And then sometimes we end up in a situation where it is revealed to us that maybe they have a perspective that's different than ours about something that we think is important. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what that also means is we end up treating that person as though that is the only thing that matters about them. We have to be really careful about that. And yeah. So I usually make a point to help people to see that folks are not just one thing. And we really do ourselves a disservice when we look at people as though they are just one thing. And we don't want anyone to look at us as though we are just one thing. And so that usually starts people to thinking about, okay, I've got a boss I don't agree with at my workplace, or I've got, you know, somebody on my team that I don't see eye to eye with, or who has a different belief system than what I have. And maybe there's an opportunity here for me to lean into that interaction in a way that's going to be more effective instead of deciding, oh, you think that and I think this, we don't need to engage at all.
Yeah. No, I can see, I received that, Amber, and thank you for that. I can see the way that people could be leery of this notion of good humans because that term mm-hmm. can be so subjective. You know where I'm going here. The term can be mm-hmm. so subjective because these days when you say what it means to be a good human, I'm not sure there's a universal answer even anymore to what we see as right or wrong, good or bad, fair or unfair, just or unjust. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. But there are some foundational things that I think most of us can agree will help us to engage with one another better. I need people who are going to speak up if something is hurting, harming, or causing them some difficulty, or if it's offensive, because if I don't know, I can't address it. I need people who are brave enough to apologize when they make a mistake. I need to be brave enough to hear said apology when I actually receive one. We also need to be able to have conversations where we're using gender-inclusive or even inclusive examples as we're discussing across different identities, so that people can actually hear the messages that we're trying to communicate. So there's some foundational things that will make the way we interact with people better, right? And that even if I walk away from you saying, yeah, I don't know that that's a thing that I believe in, support, or want to be around, because I'm in a workplace or I'm in a shared space like a park or a grocery store, there should be some foundational ways that we engage with one another that allow us to walk away and say, I might not be a fan of that, but I can appreciate that you can responsibly engage with me in a way that we can have a discussion about it instead of, you know, myself or you feeling like we're at risk of being harmed.
Yeah. This is not foreign to you. You've heard it more times, I'm sure, than you can count. On the one hand, you said as part of these foundational things, you want people to be courageous enough and willing enough to speak up when they're being hurt, harmed, or put upon in some way that is unfair or unjust. And yet, when people of color tend to do that, you know where I'm going again. When black people tend to do that, you can be labeled as being too sensitive and too soft. And to that, you say what, Amber Cabral?
To that, I say you should pick up my book, Say More About That, because there's a way to say everything. And I go through lots of scripts and tips to help you be able to do that. But you know, at the end of the day, often what happens is when we want to speak up about something, we've got our feelings about it, and our feelings about it can take over what we are trying to communicate. Now, that's not to say that we are not speaking up at times and misunderstood. That's absolutely true. That's also not saying that we're not speaking up in circumstances where there's potential for us to be misunderstood because people are committed to that. But very often what's happening is I have worked myself into a place where I'm frustrated and the words that I'm communicating are communicating that frustration. But we can put people in the position to be accountable for their behavior. So instead of me maybe saying, you know, I think it's offensive when you blah, 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 I may instead take an approach that says, I'm not sure I follow what you mean when you said, because now I'm putting the onus on you, the person who delivered the message, to clarify that, to take accountability for it, and to give me the understanding I need to be able to react to it appropriately. And so a lot of it is just taking tactics that I think a lot of us haven't really considered and using them in the way that we engage with people, particularly when we are concerned that we want to, you know, raise or call attention to something that has been offensive or inappropriate, or we're concerned that we may put ourselves at risk. There is a way to say everything. And so the key is to figure out what's the way to say it here.
Somebody taught me many, many years ago, and it's something I still struggle with every day to learn it better. There's some lessons you learn once, and the other lessons you learn perennially. I believe, and I've said on this program before, there is nothing that we ever have to say or do to or with another human being that we cannot find a way to say or do in love. There's nothing that we ever have to say or do with another human being that we cannot find a way. Not always easy, sometimes a struggle, but there's always a way to say whatever you have to say in love. You take my point, why that is a lesson that we learn perennially, not just once. Her name is Amber Cabral. She's an award-winning inclusion and equity strategist, certified coach, and author of two acclaimed books, including Allies and Advocates, and the one she referenced a moment ago, Say More About That, as well as her own podcast called Guilty Privilege. When we come forward, I want to probe not just those books, but her TED Talk. In her TED Talk, very popular TED Talk, she focused on three steps to better connect with your fellow humans. What are those three steps? We'll let Amber unpack that when we come forward. And I'm curious as to what extent she's willing to admit that the reason why she uses that phrase, good humans, as a description for what she does is because the acronym DEI is such a dirty acronym these days. It's a dirty word. People hate it. They push back against it. They politic against it. That and more when we come forward with Amber Cabral on Tavis Smiley.
From the Merck Park with love, this is Tavis Smiley. Me, the most knowledgeable person in your circle of friends. This is Tavis Smiley.
Just This is Tavis Smiley in conversation with Amber Cabral, who is an award-winning inclusion and equity strategist. Pleased to have her on, learning so much from her. I told you that first half hour was amazing. This is just as good. Learning a lot in this hour today, as I hope you are as well. All right, Amber, watching my timer, let me move a little more swiftly here. So how much are you willing to admit to me that your use, which I love, of the term good humans as your vocation, your avocation, has to do with the pushback, the dirtiness these days that people try to associate with DEI and this anti-woke war?
I am 100%. And I am absolutely being creative with my language. I think we have seen throughout history the necessity to be creative with our language. I think this is a time for that. And my goal is honestly to be effective. And so if I need leaders and people in the world who are going to be effective, responsible communicators, who can apologize, who can manage uncomfortable convos, and that means I have to open with good humans, I am willing to do that. We'll get to DEI. We will get to allyship. Mm-hmm. But I can open with what is going to make you listen so that we can have an effective discussion. And you can perhaps pick up a few skills, even unintentionally.
Yeah.
But yes, I definitely do that, for sure.
Unintentionally, even. I like that. Is it your sense that those persons in the world who don't look like you and me, that is to say those who don't have melanin in their skin, in this particular moment are interested truly in allyship?
I'll be very honest with you. I don't know if I care if they're interested. What I do care about is what they do. And I think that we have enough workplaces that necessitate that we figure out how to collaborate and get things done together in an effective way, that people have a vested interest in figuring out how to make the work work. And so if I can show up and give you the tools to make the work work, what you personally believe is not my personal business. And so I'm going to leave you to it in most cases. Now, that's not to say that I don't have a vested interest in that when I'm looking at making my, you know, my voting decisions. But
yeah,
there are a lot of circumstances where that's not my concern. I want you to behave differently, and I want you to behave responsibly, and I'm going to provide the tools for you to do that and hold you accountable for it.
All right. So I'm going to tease you now with what we're going to cover in our remaining moments with Amber Cabral when we come forward. And here's the tease. You gave a very, very popular TED Talk, and the focus was 3 steps to better connect with your fellow humans. Those 3 steps are: acknowledge that we all have privilege, be willing to recognize the differences and extend empathy to others, and 3, extend your privilege to others. Those are the 3 steps to better connect with your fellow humans. When we come forward in our remaining moments, we'll let Amber Cabral unpack those for us on Tavis Smiley.
Unapologetically progressive. Unapologetically black. You're tapped into Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley.
Made fresh daily in the Mert Park,
Los Angeles, California.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
You're listening to Amber Cabral on Tavis Smiley, an award-winning inclusion and equity strategist, brilliant in her own right, delivered a brilliant TED Talk on 3 steps that we can all engage to better connect with our fellow humans. And in the 4 minutes I have left, I'm going to let Amber walk through it any way she chooses. Step number one, step number two, step number three. You got 4 minutes, Amber. I'm passing the mic to you. Take it away.
All right. So if you are interested in engaging with people in a way that is going to be effective, the 3 steps that you want to take are: first, identify your own privilege. Take a look at yourself. What do you have easy access to? What makes your life, you know, less complicated? What kinds of things are you able to do that make your world simple? So that could be simply, I can speak the language in my local community. That could be that I happen to have access to a vehicle. It can be any of those things, right? So identify what privileges you have. The second step is to take a moment and acknowledge who doesn't have access to that privilege. And then figure out why and what that experience is like for them so you can develop some empathy. If I'm in a position where I can speak the language in my community, I can navigate with ease. The person who cannot do that cannot navigate with ease. What potential difficulties are they encountering because of that? And then once we get clear about what folks are experiencing and we have developed some empathy for it, that puts us in a position to be able to extend our privilege to that person. So perhaps I'm in line in the grocery store behind someone who is struggling to communicate, and me and my very broken Portuguese, I'm able to step in and help assist that person if they're engaging with the clerk that's checking them out. So we have to get past this idea that, like, allyship has to be this big, huge thing that's got to take lots of dollars and lots of time. often what we really need to do is think about in our moment-to-moment, day-to-day experiences, what do I potentially have the power and access to do that someone that is in proximity of me does not? And how am I able to potentially extend that to support their experience? That's what we're mostly looking for, ways to enhance our day-to-day experience. Now, the big dollars and donations and all the things we think about when we hear allyship matter. But part of the reason I opened my TED Talk with I Teach People to Be Good Humans is that we get to the big dollars and the huge impacts by having people that have the ability to empathize with others when they compare the experiences that they're having with the experiences that someone else is having. And that can be a racial equity matter, but it can also be something that has a, you know, something to do with more common things, like I eat differently than you do, or I happen to have access, like I said, to a vehicle and you don't. And so I think thinking about privilege in a broader way can help us be in a better position to be able to engage in our communities more responsibly.
Oh, she's good. I gave her 4 minutes and she yielded back a minute and a half. That's how good she is. She she nailed that thing in less than four, which gives me time for two quick follow-ups or maybe one quick follow-up. I go back to the very beginning of those three steps about privilege. Why do you think so many of us then, given what you just laid out, still engage in ways that deny our privilege, the privilege that we do have, or put another way, take it for granted?
Because we are taught to be ashamed of it. We are taught that we should be the same as everyone else. And when we have a little bit extra, we hide it or we squirrel it away or we pretend it doesn't exist because it can cause us to have a sense of shame or it can make us feel guilty because someone near us or someone we care about doesn't have it. So it's a socialized behavior. But instead of being embarrassed by it, why don't we figure out a way to apply it? That's a more impactful use of our actual privilege. Mm.
Love me some Amber Cabral. This is an amazing conversation. Her books, once again, you can find Allies and Advocates is one. Say More About That is another. Her podcast is Guilty Privilege. Her TED Talk you can find anywhere on the internet. Again, that's Cabral, C-A-B-R-A-L is her last name. Her first name is Amber. And Amber, I have enjoyed this conversation immensely. Thank you for your work and your witness, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great discussion.
No, I enjoyed you sharing your privilege with us, so thank you for that. Just like that, 3 hours gone. Back here tomorrow, Lord willing, to do it all over again. Until then, what a blessing it was to sit in this seat today. What an amazing show, and I'm leaving here feeling a little better, a little more empowered, a little more, more empowered. That's it. All right, thank you. Until tomorrow, and as always, keep the faith.